Tim looks at Windows Vista.
Google buys YouTube for $1.65 billion.
Could MyMac.com be next?
MyMac Podcast 103.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com Podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
Welcome to the MyMac.com podcast. I'm Tim Robertson.
I'm Chad Perry. And where's Guy Searle?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here.
I don't know how we could have clued him in on what he's supposed to say right there.
Give him the cue.
I'm Tim Robertson.
Now, Chad missed it. No, Chad, you missed it.
Yeah, you missed it. He was in the middle of laughing.
Start it again, please.
Okay. All right. I'm Tim Robertson.
I'm Chad Perry.
Oh, now it's me. No, I'm just kidding. Yes. I'm Guy Searle.
So, not a lot of Mac news this week, but a lot of technology news.
Oh, yeah.
And so we've got a lot of things to go over. And, Chad said at the beginning of the show, I'm playing with Vista. And I am. I have installed the first beta of Vista on my MacBook Pro. I was going to install the second one, but unfortunately, and I don't know why, not that I really care to find out, the RC2 build of Vista seems to have been pulled from Microsoft servers, because I went up to download it, and the only thing downloadable was the RC1.
Hmm.
So I was like, yeah, that's kind of a bummer, but...
Well, won't playing with Vista make you go blind?
Well, we'll talk about that. I think you might be a little bit surprised about my answer. Intriguing. This podcast is sponsored by... This podcast is sponsored by smalldog.com as well as innotech.com. If you would like to sponsor the podcast, simply send an email to tim@mymac.com and I'll send you an invoice for $50,000.
We love our sponsors.
Yes,
unless
we do.
You know, Google buys us, and then you won't have to worry about sponsoring us at all.
That's right.
If you want to be a part of the show, all you have to do is call 1-801-938-5559. Leave us some feedback, and we will play it on the show.
Hey, Tim, does that actually spell anything cool, or is it just a bunch of numbers thrown together?
It is a bunch of numbers thrown together, but I did try to figure
something
out. There's a couple websites out there that will actually let you put your numbers in,
right?
Mm-hmm. And it will tell you the things that it spells. And I don't think it spelled anything, so I was a little bummed.
Well, you know, I checked it, and it said Mac Lamers, and I just didn't think that would be appropriate, so I didn't
That would be for, like, Macintosh. That wouldn't be for us.
Ooh, burn.
Burn. No, I like Macintosh. It's a great site if you want to contribute to it, but there's not really people that, you know, run the site. I mean, Ford does, but, I mean, he doesn't. The thing about Macintosh and sites like it is it's all user-generated content.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with MacFixit. You know, to go back in time to look up some questions that you may have to find the answers at Macintosh or MacFixit, it costs you money now.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, yeah. Yeah, they have that premium service so you can look at their old content.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. Unless they're writing that content themselves... It's user generated.
Yeah.
So you're going to charge for content that was given to you for free. I think that's kind of tacky myself.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Yep.
That's neither here nor there. Big news of the week, obviously, Google paid a stunning price for YouTube.
Yeah, that's huge. And I can't figure out why they spent so much, because they really don't have any working model for making money. You know, they never put in any advertising, and, you know, other than banner ads and stuff like that. And I imagine the only thing Google's going to be able to do is to put ads at the beginning of every single video that you could watch.
Unless they put a lot of advertising in it, you know, if YouTube starts putting even 5-second commercials at the beginning of every single YouTube submitted video,
right.
mm-hmm. it would kill it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would absolutely kill it. How many people actually go to YouTube.com to watch the videos? A lot.
Yeah.
How many people are using YouTube to basically host their videos? We do that.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We've done that in
That's
the past.
Right.
And you can watch the video right at mymac.com.
Right. You can just kind of link it in.
Yeah. In fact, when you upload a video, it gives you the code to do so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's right there. You know, if you want to play this video on your site, here's the embedded code.
Yeah. How much you want to bet that's going to disappear?
You know, there are some things about Google Video that I liked better. It had that little button on the side that you could download it for either a Mac or a PC or an iPod or a PSP, and you'd click the download, and it would download that file to your hard drive.
In the correct format?
In the correct format for iPod. So all you'd have to do after that would be to drag it into iTunes, and it would sync up with your iPod.
Wow,
I like that aspect of Google.
Yeah, and YouTube is stuck on using, what, WMV files?
No, Flash.
Oh, even better.
Yes. nobody's ever accused Google of having high quality, picture quality, I should
right.
say. It's always been kind of crappy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but same thing for YouTube.
No, that's what I'm talking about, Google. Or, I'm sorry, yeah, YouTube.
Right.
That Flash video, it's crap.
Mm-hmm.
But it was free for the end users. It was free for both end users, the ones that are uploading it and those who are downloading and watching mm-hmm. it. There are some programs like TubeSock that would actually allow you to download it, convert it, and put it on your iPod, but it's like, at that point, why even bother?
Well, there is some program out there, and you know, I should have looked it up before we started the show.
TubeSock.
That lets you take YouTube videos and convert them to something else?
Yes, it's YouTube. It would save it to your hard drive.
Oh, okay.
And you could sync mm-hmm. it up with your iTunes library.
Well, you're up on
it. But I mean, it's still Flash video quality, which is pretty crappy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing. Google actually paid YouTube $1.65 billion in stock. Mm. It's the highest price yet paid for a consumer generated media site.
Well, those
consumer. Consumer generated is the key.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
well, you can bet the two guys that started YouTube are like, you know, calling their stockbrokers and saying, "How quickly can I sell my Google stock?"
Oh, that's the issue, is how long are they tied to that stock?
Yes. Well, here's the other thing. Why does Google want YouTube? Why? What
the
what
name. Do That's it. What else could there be?
Well, but you think YouTube's more valuable than Google?
Not,
I don't think
not
so.
Not that it's more valuable, but, I mean, how many people were using Google Video as compared to YouTube? I mean, look how much people paid for Napster, and it was just for the name.
True. I bet they kind of wish they would have not done that at this point, because, you know, they got the great Napster name, but then they
screwed
flushed
it, up.
It down the toilet.
Yep. Yeah.
They try to compete against what's really successful right now, iTunes, and I think they kind of made themselves look a little foolish there.
Yeah, I've heard of that iTunes stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who's to say Google won't do the same thing with YouTube? But, you know, the guys that founded it don't care.
No, they
That's
got
true.
Their cash.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what's the next story we got?
Next, we've got Apple rivals joined together against iTunes, real networks at it again.
Hmm.
And this is basically a story about Best Buy in cooperation with SanDisk and Real Networks is creating a Best Buy online music service called Best Buy Digital Music Store.
More originality.
Yeah. Oh, and check this out. It allows customers to find, manage, and purchase music online.
Oh, yeah.
This
but
is
wait.
Revolutionary.
Chad, does it have a subscription service?
Why, yes, it does. Oh. As well as subscribe monthly.
It is listen
to an unlimited number of songs. Yes, it is.
So will the Zune player work with it?
No.
But Best Buy will sell Zune, iPod, and SanDisk.
So. Will the iPod work with it?
No.
So that's what I don't get. How do these guys expect to get successful with a digital music service if they don't cater to the most popular digital music player?
Well, someone could have asked Apple that same question,
True.
You know, just a few years ago.
True.
Well, you guys are going to release this iPod and it doesn't play Windows Media encrypted files?
What?
Yeah, what? What?
I don't
what
know.
Should.
It's just, it amazes me that all of these people who have managed to create successful companies keep making the same stupid mistake again and again and again. It's not.
Yeah,
like,
they just don't get it.
No, and this particular tack that Best Buy is taking, I mean, it's been done to death, and everyone mm-hmm. that has tried it has failed.
Other than Apple.
Well, yeah. I'm talking about, you know, hey, we're going to sell to all the fair. What is that?
Fair Play.
Yeah, we're going to sell to all the Fair Play players out there. How about that? Ooh, okay, yeah, six of them. Way to go.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like there would come a point when you're just going to concede that part of the market and try to create an original market for yourself?
That, or at least try to expand that market.
That would require original thought.
Well, yeah, and other than Apple, how many in the PC? But I will say, though, and I haven't played with it myself, but I have heard that the Zune is actually a very nice player. A lot of people that have got hands-on time with it say, from a technological standpoint, and from just the way it feels and the way the screen mm-hmm. looks, it's a better player than the iPod. It doesn't have a scroll wheel, but that it is a better-looking, more sophisticated player than the iPod. So should Apple... You know, here's the other aspect is that everyone says, it's the new iPod killer. But does the consumers want something to kill the iPod? I don't think so.
No. I don't think so either.
I think customers at this point have so much invested in the iPod and iTunes infrastructure
mm-hmm.
that it's entrenched at the point that it's going to be hard to topple them.
Right.
Well, the part that surprises me is that no one will attempt to sell content that will play on, I mean, other than, you know, I'm talking about DRM'd content that they've gotten from, you know, the big producers, and sell it so that it's compatible with the iPod.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to make money on the hardware, which so far has been a big loser, go to the other end.
Well, here's the thing. If you're trying to get content onto iTunes, and other than Apple and the music industry and now Hollywood and the television mm-hmm. studio, who has been very successful at getting content into iTunes and into the iPods? Can you think of anything?
No, I can't.
Podcasters.
Exactly. Podcasters. What do we do different?
Well, it doesn't cost people money for it.
That's and the right. files are not DRM'd.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So where do we make our money?
Advertising.
Right. So if you want to get your content, if you're the BBC and you've got a hit television show and you want to get as many eyeballs on that show as possible, wouldn't it make sense to, I don't know, maybe release that as a podcast? Call it a podcast. You'd get around, you know,
mm-hmm.
going through the Apple Store to actually buy something.
Yeah.
It would be free, but it would have commercials in it.
Yeah.
If who here watches Battlestar Galactica? I don't.
I do.
I know it's great.
I love that.
I know it's great. And quite honestly, my plan is simply to buy the first two seasons on DVD when I can afford it.
You can borrow it from me.
You have both of them? Don't say that. Don't say
on
that.
On the DVD?
Yeah.
Oh, see, now he's got to let me borrow it.
I know it.
So, I'm serious. So I know it's a great show.
Would you like Superman as well?
No, thanks. I'll just buy that one. I know it's a great show, and every time I go up to YouTube, or every time I go up into the iTunes music store to look at the TV shows, and I always think, maybe I'll buy it this time. But then I look at the price, and I'm like, man, if you know what, for that price, I think I'd rather just go buy it on DVD,
mm-hmm.
watch it in a better quality, or if I want to, I can use a program to rip it and put it onto my iPod if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
But chances are I would rather just watch it on television.
Right.
I just can't get over the price. Now, had they offered it for free with the commercials and without the ability to fast forward past the commercials,
there's the catch.
I would have mm-hmm. been all over it.
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't people doing that?
Well, because I don't think that it's possible at the moment to make it so that you can't skip past the commercials. And that would require some work by Apple to make that.
Have you ever used an iPod to try to skip forward to right where you want to go? It's
not for video. I have a Nano. So I haven't tried to watch video on an iPod.
It's virtually impossible to go exactly where you want to. It's virtually impossible. You go a little bit too far or not far enough, you can never get it right where you want.
Kind of like parallel parking.
Exactly.
Right.
So, yeah.
Good analogy, guys.
It's
used to be a car parker. I know what it's like.
But honestly, you know, couldn't Apple come out with an update to the iPods that would do that?
Well, you'd think so.
And that iTunes would look that if you hadn't updated yet, it would not allow you to download those commercial television shows?
Mm-hmm.
I think the commercials are, that's what pays for it now.
Right.
That's what allows the studios to be able to produce the shows in the first place, mm-hmm. advertising revenue.
Right.
That's how come the TV shows can make $1 million an episode.
Yeah.
So, I think that's the future, and podcasting has shown that people want more content for their iPods and iTunes.
Well, I mean,
to listen to.
Not just the iPods, mm-hmm. but all the players are getting bigger and bigger and bigger as far as the amount of storage that they hold.
Exactly. And people want to put content on it.
Something in that damn thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I think that these competing services are doomed for the simple fact that iTunes and the iPod is already entrenched.
Yep.
People already have them. They're not going to replace them with an entire new media service.
Especially mm-hmm. one that's inferior.
Exactly. Right. So provide something different through the iTunes. Now imagine Real Networks working with Apple, which Apple probably wouldn't now after Real Networks have basically ripped them a new one in the press left mm-hmm. and right. But working to put some of their original content that they own into iTunes.
Yeah.
Even if they charge for it. I mean, Real Networks has the deal with the NFL Networks.
Mm-hmm.
Apple also has NFL games on iTunes.
Well, yeah. Sort of.
Wouldn't, you know, yeah. well, it's shortened versions.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But wouldn't it have made more sense for Real Networks to act as a go-between between the NFL and Apple to get that programming onto iTunes?
And get their middleman fee.
Well, yeah. that would only work if you could get past the egos of both companies, and that's not going to happen.
No. Well, the egos will take a backseat to
the dollars.
Hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue, I guarantee you.
Well, so, the problem is that both of those guys that we're talking about are already incredibly wealthy.
Well, but it's not the guys that have to, they have to answer to the stockholders.
Yep.
And so, it's you know, the CEO, Steve Jobs does have people he has to answer to. That would be the stockholders, right?
True.
I mean, he does, obviously he has a lot of authority and power at Apple, but ultimately he answers to, are you going to yawn?
No.
Did you just keep it in?
Yeah, I did. That's okay. Impressed him.
Yeah. We're boring him already, Guy. So, Guy.
I thought we weren't going to get into the Apple stock thing. Oh, well.
What's the next story we got coming up?
Next story we have is Microsoft to step up their anti-piracy stance. And apparently Microsoft is going to try to crack down on software piracy in a number of ways. And some people have said that in kind of harsh ways. Doing things like if a legitimate copy isn't bought within 30 days, the system will curtail functionality by restricting your use of the browser for like an hour at a time and basically only allow you to actually use your system for a very short amount of time before it probably just turns itself off and says, hey, you know, call up and get your license, stupid. So, you know.
Yep.
And
so what happens when it's, some shithead employee installs a copy of Vista on his home machine that he grabbed from work, and all of a sudden the entire, you know, license is revoked from the place at work on a weekend.
Well, yeah, but the pirates won't care because, you know.
This isn't not going to hurt the pirates. There will mm-hmm. be workarounds, I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm. They'll hack it.
The only people that this is going to hurt is legitimate users who are going to get very frustrated. Apple should pay very close attention.
Well, yeah.
So far, they have not put serial numbers or activation fees in macOS.
No, they haven't.
But once they put that in OS X, they're going to lose a lot of people. They're going to say, you know what? I'll just go to Microsoft if this is the kind of crap I got to put up now with Apple.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, the kind of licensing agreement that you get with Apple is very, very generous. When I bought Tiger. I bought the five user license family pack, and I only put it on three machines because, in the past, I've picked up just one copy and put it on every machine. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And, you know, no one's the wiser. I kind of felt guilty for some reason this time around because there were so many things in Tiger that I really, really liked. So, I said, oh, the heck with it. I'll just go ahead and, you know, buy the five user license pack and be a little guilt-free, or at least on that issue.
You know what I found out? Last week I had a client, 17-inch MacBook Pro. he was having a problem. It just wasn't. He's a PC repair guy.
I'm sorry.
He's a nice guy. He's full of shit, but that's another matter entirely. He is. He's talking about he's going to learn how to be an anti-hacker, and he's got to go to all these other countries to study. And I'm sitting here thinking, you're full of shit. He makes himself sound like he's really knowledgeable. When I first met him, I was coaching his son in
softball.
Well,
coach pitch
baseball. Yeah. Sorry, I just hit the mic. That probably sounded horrible. And he didn't really know anything about computers, so he was always picking my brain. And I always humored him. He was a nice guy, so I just, you know, told him stuff. Mm-hmm. He opened his own store.
Does he?
No, he doesn't.
Okay.
He's not that knowledgeable. he started his own store in Marshall, Michigan, and he failed miserably.
Well.
But every time I talked to him, and he was a nice enough guy that if a Mac came in, he would send that person to me, which is cool, you know.
Right.
The problem was he didn't know enough about computers himself. He thought, well, I'll go to the community college for 2 years and I'll learn everything I need to know.
Yeah, because that's all you need to know.
That's right. So after he failed, you know, I would still talk to him on the phone whenever he called. He'd have questions. And these questions, this is really basic stuff. I'm like, are you really trying to run your own business repairing PCs and you don't know this?
Did you sleep through your college classes?
So he bought a Mac because he wanted to become knowledgeable in OS X, OS, as he calls it, OS X. It's, I said, you know, that's what I say too, but it's OS 10.
Right.
So he bought a MacBook Pro 17-inch.
Wow.
The problem is he would double-click the icons, and half the time they would not open. In fact, most of the time they wouldn't open. You know what it was? He had the settings up for double-click speed so high that he would literally have to go click for it to work. So I adjusted that for him. So he's got all these grandiose stories on what he's doing and the different places in the world he's going to go to study, and that he is going to work with the CIA and all this. And he makes it sound like, you know, his business didn't necessarily fail. He just couldn't afford the rent in the Marshall District. So he's running the business from another location now. You know what he does? He's working at an oil change store. Yeah, he told because he
no one would ever look for a computer store there.
Yeah, boy.
It's a CIA my
super
front.
Secret location.
He's got the oil change computer market locked up.
So he wanted to know how much, you know, how much do I owe you for fixing my computer, Tim? And I'm like, nothing. I didn't do anything. There was nothing wrong with it, other than you're an idiot.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just that. I mean, it was a bunch of little things.
Yeah.
But it was all like, duh.
If you had taken the time to use the help function, you would have figured that out.
Well, not even that. Yeah. It was like, why can't I make this go full screen? What do you mean full screen? Well, like on a PC, I can make everything full screen. I was like, oh, okay. Oh, well, Macs really don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can drag the window to make it as big as you want, but Mac users generally aren't used to working in one application that application is full screen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's more productive. I don't know. But Mac users don't do that. He just can't wrap his head around that. Well, it has to be full screen.
No, it doesn't. You hit the green button, it opens up to as big as the window needs to show you the information that's on the screen.
Well, he's got like a Microsoft document open.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you need that full screen? It's only going to take the middle of the screen anyways, right?
Right.
You want that gray area stretching across your whole screen on both sides?
I like to run iChat in full screen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and then he couldn't figure out why some movies would play full screen and some movies were in a little window. And I finally figured out he's talking about when he puts a DVD in, it goes full screen.
Right.
When he plays a QuickTime movie on like a website,
it's only going to run. Yeah,
he couldn't wrap his head around that a QuickTime movie is not the same as a DVD.
Tim, you're making my brain hurt.
But why? They're both video. God, I said if you buy QuickTime Pro, it'll allow you to go full screen on any video.
Well, you can almost. Although
you may not want to,
window.
It's in the resolutions.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, almost, but he wants it full screen, guy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so, you can't have pixels too big.
Yeah. What's going on with all of MP3.com?
Well, basically, the U.S. is putting some pressure on Russia to join the World Trade Organization, and one of the issues they're fighting about is Olive MP3, which, for those of you who don't know, Olive MP3 is a Russian-based company that sells MP3s, well, for...
By the pound.
A pittance. Yeah, by the pound, literally.
Can you do a Russian accent there, Chad?
Where do you want me to do a Russian accent at?
I like the bottom part.
The bottom part?
Yeah.
Or let me start let me start that off. Then you take over when he starts to talk. A spokesman for all of MP3's holding companies said...
We announce on our website to every user that he or she should check laws of the country in which he lives.
Moose and squirrel.
Moose and squirrel.
Yeah. Right, so there's some old school for you.
So basically, the Russians said, bite me, we're adhering to all of our local copyright laws.
You know what? I say more power to them.
Yeah.
You know, the White House is simply doing the bidding of the recording industry at this point. I mean, really, when it comes down to it.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. Part of the problem is that all of MP3 is collecting all this money, and frankly, anyone who's stupid enough to give a credit card to a Russian company... that has shady ties to begin with. Well, you know,
let's not lump all Russian software companies as shady.
No, no, no.
There's some very good ones.
That's not what I'm talking about. What they do, what all of MP3 does.
Well, basically, a pirate site.
Yeah. You know, they say, well, we're collecting these fees and we're giving a certain amount to another Russian company, who then forwards those funds to, you know, the artists and the copyright holders, and it's like blah blah bullshit.
But they're not breaking any laws in their country, right?
But if you download content from that site, you're breaking copyright laws in the countries that you live in.
Well, that's a different matter entirely.
But look at it this way: if the RIAA subpoenas you and you have to show the content of your hard drive, and you've got all of these files that you've gotten from all of mp3.com, and you say, well, look, here's the receipt, I paid for them, it's not going to matter. You're still screwed, because the copyright laws as they apply in this country, the United States, aren't set up to allow you to download from a country or a company
Then the problem isn't in Russia or with all of mp3, it's with us, because and I'll tell you why. By the same logic, exactly the same logic, Guy.
Okay.
If you write a blog that
I've done that
glorifies the Nazis.
Oh, okay.
That's against German law.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone in Germany reads that, you, as the author, have broken German law. Right? So in that case, shouldn't you not be allowed to do that?
Well, yeah.
Or shouldn't mymac.com make sure that no Germans can read
Germans,
that?
And the Germans won't extradite you for that. But if you do happen to set foot there,
they will arrest you.
I don't think that argument quite applies, because we're talking about pre-recorded content that somebody holds a copyright to, as compared to a law that somebody... It, you know, having to do with the history of a certain country that had some...
No. We're still talking about copyrighted material on mymac.com that you wrote. You own the copyright to that. Now, the only difference is we don't sell it, but, you know, that's semantics. We're talking about making sure Germans don't come to our website and read that Nazi propaganda. Because if they do... At that point, you have broken the law in Germany.
Wait, let me check and see who owns mymac.com. Let me check that for a second.
Let's flip it on its head and make it a little more applicable.
Okay.
Let's say Tim Robertson writes a book, and he's trying to make money off this book, or let's use a better example. Let's say Neil Bunk's ebook that we put out there, or Chris Siebold's, ends up on all of mp3.com or some sort of other website, and they're giving away for free.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, well, why go to mymac.com? Why not come here?
Right.
And then Chris and Neil get nothing.
True. That is true. But by the same token, shouldn't I make it so
there's
a compelling reason for people to pay for it?
Right.
But people are going to steal it regardless.
If the content is exactly alike, whether you buy it from...
If it's not against the law there, I'm not going to be happy about it. But I'm not going to risk
getting
the White House in trade negotiations.
The difference is it's not against the law in the country that you downloaded it from. But the moment that you're bringing copyright material that you've purchased from one country into another country, that material is now subject to the laws of the country that you've brought it into. Because we don't have as far as copyright material goes, as far as I know, there isn't any agreement between various countries that you can take copyright material from one country to another and not pay for it.
So what's the solution?
I don't have one.
And that's the problem. If there's not one, it's easy to do.
We're in a world economy at this point, a global economy.
Right. Well, the RIAA and the MPAA haven't quite figured that out yet. And eventually this will get sorted out and companies like that will die. It's just that it takes so long.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Well,
and the other issue is that, for those countries that allow that, it's not in their best interest to stop it. Sooner or later, it will be. When it's their copyrights and their patents that are getting ripped off by third world countries or other emerging economies, then they'll start complaining and saying, we need tighter restrictions, we need more protection for our intellectual property.
Well, that's the tack that they're taking right now. They're saying, Russia wants to join this organization, but they're not going to let them join the organization until they get some of the people that are being pirates and hackers and the rest of that to try to get them under control, because they're wreaking havoc on a worldwide scale. And I'm not just talking about all of MP3.com, but a good portion of the really really malignant type of spam and programs that are doing some serious damage, granted on the PC side, are coming from that region.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a problem with Canada right now. Fax machines aren't that big as they were, 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it was against the law in the United States to spam fax someone. You can't just fax someone an advertisement. Mm-hmm. So these companies were sending it from Canada, where it's not against the law. Yeah. So they were completely legal. Something very similar, that it was costing American homes and businesses a lot of money. Fax machine paper wasn't cheap at the time. And the ink isn't cheap.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was back during when they had the old thermal paper.
Yeah. And but it was completely legal. What are you going to do? You can't complain to Canada because it wasn't illegal there.
So. Oh, Canada! No, never mind.
So I hear Apple offended some Muslims.
Yeah, well, it seems to me that they'd like to be offended about nearly everything these days. This was a story that there was a Middle Eastern research organization had reported that Apple's flagship store in New York is offensive to Muslims. Now, I mean,
why is that?
Well, you guys have seen the way the store looks. You got that great big glass cube. Mm-hmm. And the other problem was some people were calling it the Apple Mecca. And it's open 24 hours a day, which is exactly like, Mecca in Saudi Arabia. And according to the story, contains bars selling alcoholic beverages. I know when I want a good alcoholic beverage, I go straight to the Apple store.
Mm-hmm. They do have a genius bar there with drinks that make you smart.
The iPod bar. Oh, my God.
That's right.
It was also reminiscent of a... Who was it? Boy, I cannot think.
Well, stop who it was? That.
The actual Apple store looked like a building. I think it looks like Abraham's home.
Oh, you're talking about the Kaaba.
Yeah, is that what that is?
Yeah, that's that great big cube shaped building. Like when during Ramadan. When I'm paraphrasing a little bit. It's every Muslim's duty to make at least one trip to Mecca within their lifetime. And basically, hundreds of thousands of Muslims gather at Mecca. And
I get it. I understand now. The problem that the Muslims have is that the Apple store is confusing the crap out of some people and they're making their pilgrimage there.
Well, it's so much of a shorter trip. And since so many of them live here in the States, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump on...
I don't think it's cool to offend any religion. Mm-hmm. I do think there are some religions, Scientology,
Jerry Roberts,
that probably deserve a lot of ridicule.
Yeah.
But at the same time, some religions, or some people in certain religions, seems to go out of their way
to be offended by things that aren't necessarily intended to offend them to begin with.
Well, yeah, Apple's only concern is money. That's all they care about, making money.
That's their business. By providing equipment with cool designs and cool
Steve
software.
Steve Jobs has been enamored with Cube designs going back all the way to the next.
Yeah.
In fact, really, the original Mac
was
kind of a cube. It wasn't a square, it was a cube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the next cube, the Power G4 cube, you know, and now the big glass cube.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has anything to do with Muslims or offending anybody.
Oh, I'm sure.
I think
it
this
doesn't.
Is ridiculous. It's almost like, well, we need to have some kind of a story here. What can we use? It's ridiculous. Now, if Apple had literally
out of their
made
way,
it,
right?
Yes, yeah. They made it look exactly like that. Would be a total
right.
That would be different.
Welcome to the Apple New York store where we thumb our noses at Muslims, and that should have been in the advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it was a big cross-looking building with Steve Jobs being hung there in effigy.
right next to Madonna.
Then I can see why Christians might get a little upset about that, you know.
You mean he's not God? Is that what you're telling me here?
No, the Son of God.
Oh, okay.
So,
I agree.
Yeah, it's just craziness. It really is.
I don't get why. You know, and I think a lot of it is, you know, with the current world situation, you've got people that want... Oh my, what the heck was that? You got people that want attention. And the best way to get attention is to get really, really pissed off about something. And, you know, they've learned this. The Muslims that are usually in the news have learned this.
Or come on the MyMac.com podcast. That'll get you a lot of attention, right? And come right here on the podcast. We'll get you a whole lot of attention.
Sure, that's true, yeah.
I'm actually booting up my MacBook Pro right now.
Oh, we're going to go into Vista?
We're going to go into Vista.
Have you had it blessed with holy water?
I haven't played with Vista for too long. I've only installed it 2 days ago.
I've heard that the Arrow, you know, the basically their copy of what Apple's doing, that they're calling Arrow, is supposed to be really, really slick.
Well, I'm going to show. Obviously, Guy is joining us via cyberspace.
Yeah, I'm just not going to fit through this microphone.
No. Oh, Guy, you should see it. It's beautiful.
No, the first thing that you...
Stop it, you!
It's so pretty. One of the things it has is widgets. And and unlike the Apple widgets that disappear and reappear as if by magic...
I've heard of widgets.
These sit right on the screen. And if I'm not mistaken... Let's see.
Yes, but will they fit?
Yeah, the windows... Your screen windows will go over the top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with a few. It comes with an RSS reader, a clock, a CPU gauge, a calendar. There's a little plus key that says plus gadgets. And it has different gadgets that you can
download,
turn on, turn off. And there's a get more widgets.
Wow, they look strikingly familiar to.
Yeah, well, the technology is the same.
Right,
so. Chad can kind of see the transparency of the window. See it back there, Chad?
Yep.
It kind of makes the text behind it blur out as the window goes over it.
Yeah.
It's a little, you know, it's cool looking, though.
It kind of refracts what's behind it, is what it does.
It looks more like a more refined XP.
Refraction.
Now, it does have the taskbar at the bottom again.
Mm-hmm.
What I do like about it, it looks a lot better, obviously.
Yeah, it's very pleasing to the eyes.
Glass, I mean, the colors are, kind of drop shadow-ish.
Candy-ish.
You know? When you put your mouse over without actually clicking, you'll see a small window pop up above it that shows you what that is.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yep.
So I've got a...
So basically you have almost like a thumbnail of whatever's on that application as you go over it in the taskbar.
Exactly. Unlike macOS, who just automatically saw your network when I would come over here and join it.
Mm-hmm.
Windows won't let me do that. I have to literally go into the control panel and say, join this network, get safe, every single time. So, as you can see, Chad, I've got a couple different windows open on the MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to get to the desktop quickly, down in the bottom right-hand corner is this little button that's in the taskbar that says Show Desktop. If I click it quickly hides everything.
Right.
And I'm right at the desktop. I like that.
Yeah, that's a nice feature, because that's a pain to get back to the desktop if you're running Windows XP or actually any Windows iteration.
Now the start menu is gone. It's still there, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply a Windows icon now, a little round icon that if you click,
clear,
it brings up
looking,
the same basic, but it's transparent too, so you can see the windows behind it, because it's cool. Arrow. But what I really like, and Chad's going to dig this, I wish you could see this, there's another button to the right of the show desktop in the bottom left-hand corner window. It says switch between windows. Check this out.
Oh, that's nice.
Do you want to explain to the everybody what it looks like?
Basically, what it does is it takes all the open windows and puts them in kind of like a 3D isometric layout, so you can see them all kind of lined up in rows together.
Cascades. Going to the
Is that upper similar to Exposé?
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Time Warp.
Yes.
But Time Warp goes straight out.
Mm-hmm.
This goes to the left and up a little bit.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of the windows is the desktop.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is you can use your arrow keys
to navigate.
And then they kind of, and the one in the back jumps to the front and they move backwards. Isn't that cool looking, though?
That is very nice.
I got to say, I'm very impressed with that feature.
Mm-hmm.
If Apple does nothing else and steals nothing else from Microsoft, I want them to steal this.
Mm-hmm.
That is a cool feature. I really like it.
Have you guys heard of that My Dream App site?
Yeah, I've been hearing stuff about it, but I haven't really played with it yet.
You know, you were talking about the taskbar, and there's one of the contestants there has kind of a dock replacement that kind of reminds me of the Windows taskbar, but it's got some really, really cool stuff in it, and I'm looking at it right now. If you go to mydreamapp.com, it's the one by Russell Heitz. Oh, I can't even pronounce this guy's name.
First, I have to join the network.
But it's called Portal, I believe is what it's called.
It's pretty neat, huh?
Oh, it's real, real slick. And it's got all kinds of little add-ins you can put in there. Dictionary, FTP support, Skype, some games, clipboard contents. What else has he got here? Notes, a print monitor, password manager. I mean, all kinds of stuff that you could put into this thing.
What's the website?
It's mydreamapp.com.
Two P's an app?
Sorry? Yeah, two P's an app. And it's called Ground Control is the one I'm talking about.
My Microsoft Exploder didn't seem to like that. My
damn you, internet!
app.com.
Yeah, you got to make sure you type in .com sometimes. You're using Internet Explorer.
DNS entries are crappy.
As if we care.
My Dream App just is not coming
when
up.
When you're telling these little stories,
I will do a search.
Here's a good idea.
My
Have a point. Dream. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Mm-hmm. And which one are we looking for?
You're looking for one called Ground Control.
Oh, God, here we go again. Dork alert.
I'm still not connected to the network. I love Windows.
Dun, 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 dun.
Excuse me, but I do believe that sucked ass.
Pay attention to me, boy.
Silence is deafening.
I know. Someone has to fill it in because I'm trying to troubleshoot Windows right now.
I'm trying to find it.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal.
That sucked ass.
I'm trying to find the one you're talking about.
Well, you guys, I guess you don't want to start it up with GarageBand going. That's probably not a good idea.
No.
Oh, we'll take a look at it sometime later. It's really kind of cool the way it looks.
Back to Vista. There's some things in here that is very macOS 10 inspired.
Oh, no doubt.
Pay attention over here, Chad.
Yep.
At the top of the windows where it tells you what the name of the program is, up here it says, Internet Explorer cannot display the web page. It's written in nice text, but it's surrounded in this cloudish blue.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of crappy, I think. It looks like they're just trying to get cutesy at this point. I do like when you close a window, instead of just blinking off, check this out. Watch. It kind of shrinks a little bit and just kind of fades away quickly.
Yeah.
It's neat. But from what I'm seeing, pretty much everything is cosmetic. One of the things that I got used to on Windows is the control panel scheme. And at least on XP and 95 and 98 and me in 2000, it was pretty evident what was what. I think the new one is horrible. You can go back to the classic view, but look at it.
Well, if you're going to go back to the classic view, why not just stick with XP?
See, this would be the classic view, Chad, where it just gives you the icons and what it is underneath it. But the new view it kind of groups them together, and you have to click it and then click something else. Like, you know, it says so system and maintenance, get started with Windows backup for your computer. You know?
Yeah, but...
Appearance and personalization. Change the desktop pattern. Customize colors. Adjust screen. You know? It's just...
I mean, it's nice that it files them like that, but the fact of the matter is, if you've used Windows at all, or even familiar with it, why do you need them grouped like that?
Yeah. Now, you can go back to the classic view, but I just... I don't know. And there's the full screen mode.
I prefer the way it's laid out in the Apple preferences.
Oh, panel. I do too. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, here's the thing. Windows Vista, it's not too bad.
Yeah?
It's not the Mac OS.
Right. But you weren't expecting that anyways.
So. No, but for Windows, it's not too bad. It's really not. I think...
It's the most pleasant-looking version of Windows I've seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
But doesn't it have some like doesn't it have like some really, really horrible requirements?
Well, I'm running it on a MacBook Pro.
Well, yeah, but that's a
2 gigahertz machine with Duo. Yeah, with a 1.48 gigabyte of RAM. Right, that's basically a stock machine PC, at this point.
Right, a stock new machine.
Well,
no, I'm running 10.4 on a 933 G4 tower that came out in 2001, and this is Apple's latest OS. By the same token,
yes, but it's not that fast on your machine compared to how fast it would be on newer machines.
Well, we're talking about the OS.
However,
we're not talking about applications.
Right, but why can't you run that then on a first generation iMac? Why can't you run Tiger on a first generation iMac?
Well, because of the hardware requirements.
Exactly. Okay.
unless it has FireWire and a DVD drive, then you know no, you can't run it.
Right. My point being that I'm with Microsoft here. You can't. Microsoft historically has made their operating systems compatible as far back as humanly possible, as feasible. With Vista, they're not doing that. They're saying, here's a cutoff date, you have to meet at least these requirements. Apple did the same thing with Mac OS X. I completely agree with that. It's nice to be able to support backwards compatibility as far as you can, but at some point you have to say, you know what? If
that
your computer is 10 years old,
yeah,
you really need to get a new computer.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, when Apple did it, they went whole hog. You know, they said, okay, here's our old OS. It's full of holes, and we have lots of problems with it. We can't really bring it into the 21st century. So we're going to come up with something brand new. And that's exactly what they did. No, they're still working off of XP
no,
technology.
No, they're not.
What, they have a compatibility layer for XP built into it to run the older
apps?
Yes,
Vista has been built from the ground up. That's why it's taking so long to get out the door. Mm-hmm. It's not that Microsoft is completely incompetent in making an OS. They've shown over and over. Personally, I think Windows NT was a very good operating system for what it was designed to do.
Right.
But nobody
Vista
adopted.
Has been built up. Oh, sure they did. Are you kidding me? Windows NT was huge.
That was
every enterprise that I visited.
Right. It was
for the last
business,
5 years.
It was a business OS.
That's exactly what I said.
Trying to get
it,
right.
For what it was
away.
Designed to do.
But
for what Windows was designed to do,
which is to address the needs of the enterprise level customers,
it was brilliant. It was a very good operating system, multi-threaded, memory protected. Well, you're talking about two different consumers. You're talking about consumers, and you're talking about business. Microsoft has more than just consumers. Apple's only ever worried about consumers. So as Mac users, we come about it from a different perspective.
Has only ever worried about users since about 1983 or 4. But yeah.
So you know. NT was a great operating system. I know a lot of Mac users are going to be up in arms for me saying that, but I've been a Mac user longer than most of the people listening to this. And I run mymac.com, for God's sakes. But NT was a very good operating system. Windows Vista is being built from scratch. They're starting from scratch.
Yeah.
New APIs. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they probably could have brought over from Vista that would have made it a lot quicker to develop this OS. But they literally wanted to start from scratch and make the best operating system they could for their platform.
Without looking like Mac OS X, so.
Well, they failed a little bit there. Yeah. I still think...
And that's why I say without... I don't think they went out to copy Mac OS X, although they probably took some elements from it.
But let's not be naive enough to think that Apple hasn't taken any...
Oh, yeah.
Microsoft. Yeah. And where did widgets come from?
Exactly. Right,
that wasn't an Apple thing.
Confabulator, yeah.
A clock up in your menu bar... That was a shareware application originally.
Yeah, SuperClock. Mm-hmm. Shows you how far back I go.
So, you know, Apple, everybody takes a little bit from everybody else. Sometimes it's blatant. Sometimes it's inspired.
Right, and it depends on the angle you take at it. And I kind of hearken back to Steve Wozniak's interview on...
NPR?
Yeah, NPR, when Neil... was it Neil Conan?
Yes.
Was asking him... You know, well, what did you think when Windows came out, Windows 3.1? And Steve said, I thought we finally won.
Yeah, because it was so horrible.
Right.
Now, that is horrible, but that I think from his perspective that somebody had seen the power of the GUI interface and said, this is the way computing is going to be done.
Yep.
And even though it was horrible, he also said at least they recognized that this was the way computing should be done.
And we're still living in that paradigm
with
the GUI that's Windows and mouse clicks and keyboard entry and color screens.
Well,
and,
you know, depending on how far back you go, I can remember back in the mid-80s with, you know, DOS fanatics going, oh, why are you playing with that toy? You know, real men know, you know, command line interface. And I just kind of look at them and say, you know what? That's ridiculous. Why would you want... to put yourself through that kind of hell just to interact with a computer. Why not have it simple?
That's like saying, you know, you can only drive a car if you know how to actually repair one.
Or you can only drive a car if it's a stick.
Yeah.
You know, what do you mean automatic transmission? You should have to be able to switch gears manually. That's how it should be.
You know? That's a better analogy.
I think that's kind of a better analogy.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
But Vista seems pretty nice. Do I think people are going to rush out to buy a new computer just to run Vista? No. I don't see that happening.
No, not till Service Pack 1.
Most people won't get Vista until they do buy a new computer and it's already pre-installed.
Mm-hmm.
That's how people are going to get Vista. Unlike the Mac OS,
right.
In which people do go buy a box copy of the operating system.
As soon as it comes out.
As soon as it comes out. I did last year.
Exactly.
Everybody knows.
Well, and I think the big problem for Microsoft is going to be, you know, some of the enterprise level companies won't adopt it right away.
A lot of people try to look at Microsoft and say when Vista comes out, it's probably going to be like 98. You remember 98? There was lines to get it.
Oh my god, yeah. I remember that.
That was
98.
Yeah.
So that's what Microsoft is obviously hoping for, but it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The adoption rate of XP was a lot slower. Why? Because people got XP when they bought a new computer and it was pre-installed.
Well, mm-hmm. Plus they were used to upgrading. They were used to a GUI from Microsoft at that point.
Right.
Windows 95 and Windows 98 were really the first truly usable GUIs from Microsoft.
Yep.
Now I would agree with that.
One thing that I think Microsoft is making a mistake on is the sheer number of different types of Vista that they're putting
up. Yes, I agree with you there.
I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah, well...
And they're going to put them all on a disk, and depending on, you know, I mean, you can buy whatever version it is you want, and if you want to upgrade it, then you say, okay, you call up Microsoft, and they give you some kind of magic number. You punch in that magic number, put your disk in, and then all the additional features that you just bought are on that disk that you bought that had the cheapy version.
Yeah.
I tell you, the pre-build here that I have that I'm running is the Ultimate Edition. It has Windows Media Center built in. Mm. And that was kind of nice. It kind of reminded me of Front Row.
Oh, yeah?
But it had a lot more content, a lot more functionality.
Well, it's kind of the other way around, isn't it? Because Media Center came out long before Front Row was available.
Yeah, but I never used it before. So
that's true.
For me, it reminds me of Front Row.
So there.
Mm.
So there. I'll be honest. I'm not going to rush out and buy a copy myself. If one mysteriously shows up via UPS, that's a different matter entirely. But I think Microsoft did a lot right I'm not talking about how long it's taken to develop, you know, the pricing structure, all that
crap.
But
do you think that makes it worth it, though? I mean, obviously, it took them a while to do a lot right, so...
No, I think they should have two versions. Yeah. They should have a basic version that costs $99.
And a business version.
They should... Well, no, and then an ultimate version, which they can use in business or for professional level users for $199. Two versions, that's it.
And two price points.
Two price points. Instead $99 and $200.
What are they, five, I think? Five different versions?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. There's no compelling reasons, unless this is going to be such a secure operating system and completely backwards compatible with pre-existing network infrastructures.
What you said.
It's not going to be adopted by business.
Right.
At least not initially.
No.
Because once it's released out into the wild, the shipping finalized version, mm-hmm. there's going to be huge problems with incompatibility.
Mm-hmm.
And there are too many people that rely on their enterprise
exactly,
solutions.
And they can't take the chance on things breaking.
Well,
in crunch
time. And you look at the adoption rate of the companies, like, you know, some of the clients I've supported.
Yeah.
You know, it they didn't install Windows NT until, you know, 2000, 2001, 2002.
Right. It's... So, the long and short of it for me is Windows Vista looks promising. Mm-hmm. If I picked up a new computer and it had Windows Vista on it, I'd be happy.
Mm-hmm.
If I picked up a computer after Vista was released and it still had XP on it, I would be very unhappy.
Well, aren't they supposed to have
coupons and stuff, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But nevertheless, I don't want to have the computer preloaded with XP. I want one that comes with Vista brand new out of the box, and most end users do. I don't want to buy a new Mac OS and it has 10.4 3 weeks after 10.5 came out. Mm-hmm. Damn it, I want a 10.5 on here where you get a coupon. Well,
yeah, because I'll wait an extra 4 weeks to get my Leopard pre-installed.
Right, yeah, exactly. So I think Microsoft is doing a lot of right things with this release. We'll see if it's as robust as it appears to be, if it's successful for them. Most importantly, it has to be secure.
Right.
It has a feature that you have to type in your password every time it's going to do something on a system-wide level as administrator. And it's asking for that way too often.
Mm.
The problem with that is people are just going to get used to typing it in for every little stupid thing so that when something important comes up where they shouldn't be installing it, they're so used to click OK that it's going to be less secure because it's more secure. Does that make sense?
Well,
it's going to be secure.
It's going to be less secure because it relies on the user so much for the security permission.
Have you had a chance?
And that they're going to be so used to just for every little thing that they're just used to doing it, so it's going to be less secure.
Have you had a chance to play with system settings yet?
Yeah, sure have.
As you go through there, is there anything in there that says, you know, don't bug me for all these little things?
I didn't notice it, but I didn't go to every single one either. I would check right now, but I've already shut down the computer.
Yeah, it's okay.
Because we're coming towards the end of the podcast.
Oh, goodness, no. It's time to wrap it up.
It's been almost 58 minutes since we started. Damn the time! We went through all the news that we had. We thanked our sponsor, Small Dog and Innotech.
Bless you.
Yep.
We do have a couple interviews coming up. Hopefully, we'll be able to work it out so Guy will be here as well.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, I will tell you offline, Guy.
Okay.
He's someone that you'd like to interview, so we definitely want to have you there for that.
Cool.
Yep. We've got somebody else coming out who owns
a
company.
Who's been on before.
And we're going to have...
An announcement.
Ooh. That a lot of people are looking forward to. They just don't know it yet.
Yep.
And we're going to break that story on the podcast before anybody else.
Way cool.
That will be way cool.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the 103rd podcast. We're already making plans for 200. No, we're not. I'm kidding.
The Apple Store in Anchorage, Alaska.
That's right.
We'll be broadcasting from the Apple Store on the moon.
If you would like to be part of the show, there's a phone number that you can call. Leave your comments, questions, suggestions, and hate mail.
That's 1-801-938-5559.
If you have any Mac problems, we are taking questions and posting them to tom@ mymac.com. So if you got a Mac question, hey, how do you do this? I'm having this problem. Simply send an email to tom@mymac.com.
Yep.
And you can get your answers that way. Anything else, anybody?
Well, you know, I wish I had remembered that because I had some some other problems with my iBook hard drive installation that I probably could have asked Tom, but well, I'll go into that maybe another time.
That's right. That's what he's there for, remember?
Yeah. Right.
A lot of good content up at MyMac.com. Make sure you tune in next Monday for the MyMac mini podcast. Yep. And we're going to have our part two of our conversation, which doesn't seem so special now that we're doing all three of us doing the regular podcast now.
Well, no, you know, you're still good to listen to, though.
I listened to it on the way home from Michigan, and it was just so much fun to listen to it all over again. And the whole time I was listening to it, I was like, "Oh yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, we talked about that too."
So, yeah. Yeah. So make sure you listen to 103 or.
Podcast 11, isn't it?
Mini 11, podcast, yeah, 11? That's right.
Mini podcast 11.
And we will be back together here next Thursday. Oh. Are you good for next Thursday, Guy?
As far as I know.
Cool. Well, we'll see everybody then.
Cool.
See ya.
What is that thing you're doing?
It's technical. It's one of our little toys.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.